Right. I wasn't sure if I was going to be preaching to like 15 people or what. So it is a little bit easier to preach to a bigger crowd. But I want to start by saying, can we make this like a judgment-free zone? Because all I've heard is that people who stay home are fearful and faithless, and people who go out are reckless and selfish. Have you heard these things? I am so sick of it. I am so sick of it. And I just want people to be people. And I just want every single one of us to say, God, what do you want us to do? And then we just do it. And then we don't defend our position by name calling other people who aren't doing the same thing that we're doing. So if you are here, that's okay. And if you are at home, that's okay. I think we should all be doing what God has asked us to do and not take it out on everybody else. Can we just do that, please? Can we just do that, please? And I was like, it doesn't matter what decision we make. I feel like we're going to make somebody mad in the next whenever. So I just want to be free to make whatever decision I feel like God tells me to make. And hopefully you guys will all just go along with it, with whatever God tells you to do. And we'll just be one big happy family. And the other thing that I read was that church doesn't happen because you have to shut the door. Church doesn't stop happening because you shut the doors. Okay? Church happens because we are the church. So when you leave this place, you're still the church, and you're still going to happen. So regardless of whatever decision we make next week, there's still church. It just might actually take place here. We don't know that yet, all right? So you could be confident in that. And here's my other advice. Stay off social media. Unless you're going to follow like somebody that whose name you try. Because every time, I have noticed this in my life, every time that I have gotten online, and don't pay attention to how many times I touch my face, because it's just going to happen. I've sanitized. And I'll sanitize again when I get there, all right? It's just, like, I can't help it, and I can't think about that right now. I have to preach, so quit judging me. So, but I noticed this weekend, as the staff has been trying to wrestle with, like, what do we do? What do we do? And every time I got online and I started reading about stuff, my peace was gone. It was gone, and it made me so mad, because if I got off of it, and it's not, I'm not saying bury your head in the sand and pretend like nothing's happening. That's not what I'm recommending, but I noticed that when I was, like, my family, we played games this week, and it was like 2 hours of bliss, because I felt like I was in another world. I feel like when I can get off that, if I can get off social media and I can get off the news and I can go to my family, or if I can go to the Word, that I have so much more peace. So much more peace. And so I want to say, if you're losing your peace, don't go try to find it on social media, because I promise you it's not there. There are not people laying down peace on social media. So just avoid it and find your one news source that you want to listen to and you feel like is a reliable, because it's this, again, let's not be sticking our heads in the sand and pretend nothing's happening. But let's just not find out from 25 people, two of which are experts and the rest of just opinionated people who are judging you, all right? Judging your decision. Okay, so that's my beginning part. And what's interesting to me is that as I was preparing this message, I was like, this could be very timely for some of us. All right, and I hope that it will encourage you, because it was encouraging to me as I was preparing it. So if you don't know, we are in the middle. This is week 4 of a series called Life Lessons, or Lessons from the Life of David. So the other pastors and myself have been going through the life of David and pulling out stuff that we can learn from David, from King David. If you aren't familiar with him, he was in the Old Testament, and there's a lot about David, actually. He's probably one of the most written about people besides Jesus in the Bible, and he did a lot of stuff, and as we have learned, he fought David and Goliath, and Andy shared that story, or that narrative with us about a month ago, and then Mark shared about David's mistakes, the stupid things that David did and how he dealt with it. And then last week, Nick shared with us about the difference between anointing and appointing and what David's anointing was and how God used that and before he was appointed king. All right? So today I want to talk about David as shepherd. And I get two things where my two topics that I get to teach on are about like David's seasons of life. And so I get to talk today about David as being the shepherd. And what can we learn about from David as a shepherd? Because honestly, there's not very much written in Scripture about his life as a shepherd. There's not like tons of narrative about that. But we can deduce a lot of stuff based on what he wrote, based on what he did do, and what he did say. And the thing that I want to start with, and I'm going to say this several times throughout the message, is the main point that I want you to get today is that God is working in your life right now. Our time of preparation is now and always. And you're prepared for what's happening now, and you're being prepared for what is to come. Does that make sense to you? It's a lot of prepareds and a lot of nows and a lot of stuff in that, but I want you to get this at the end of our time together. I want you to be confident that God is working in you right now and that our time of preparation is now and always. You've been prepared for what is happening now and you're being prepared for what is to come. Okay? So, let's talk about what God did in David's life as a shepherd that prepared him. Let's talk about how God was working in his life, how that translates to us. What do we learn from what God did in David's life when David was a shepherd? So I can tell you that this is true for us, not only for David, but that God started at the beginning, the very beginning. And this was really cool when I was looking this up, and I was like, you know, it's something that you read all the time, but you might not actually think about what it means. So First off, David knew that God started at the beginning, all right? And he wrote about this in Psalm 139. This might be familiar in the Passion Translation. Starting in verse 15, it says, "You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book." So from the very beginning, God knew what he was doing with David. And from the very beginning, God knows what he's doing with us. Our days are recorded in his book. He already knows his plan and his purposes for us. So this is what was cool. So in the beginning, of David's life, he was born to a man named Jesse and his wife, obviously. But he was the son of Jesse, but he was the eighth, I believe he's the eighth son of Jesse. He was the youngest son of Jesse, the youngest. And the reason that that actually matters is because, this is something I didn't realize, but the youngest son is the one who tended the father's sheep. So from the very beginning, David was destined to be a shepherd because of when he was born in birth order. God had already set that aside for him as the youngest. All right? And so just the fact that we know that David was a shepherd can tell us actually a lot of how he spent his life as a shepherd, because of what we know about what it means to be a shepherd. And the biggest thing that I want to touch on is that when, as a shepherd, he had hours and hours and hours of solitude. Hours and hours of solitude. So already he was set apart to be by himself with a bunch of sheep. So what did God do with David? How did God prepare David in these hours and hours of shepherding? So what we get to do today is we get to look at the fruit of that time, and we get to reference the fruit of his life to know what lessons we can learn from David the shepherd. And we get to look at that and see how God prepared David, and then how he prepares us. So this is the first thing that God prepared in David while he was a shepherd. God prepared his walk, David's walk. So the biggest thing that we can assume from David as a shepherd is that he spent these hours and hours of solitude, and it gave David a ton of time to be with God and develop his immense love for and devotion to God. He would have had a basic understanding of who God was, but then he got to meditate on that, and he got to live in that, and he got to be with God hours upon hours. during this time. So, and this relate this walk with God was so developed during this time that in Acts 13:22 it was said, after removing him, referring to Saul, God raised up David to be king. For God said of him, I have found in David, son of Jesse, a man who always pursues my heart and will accomplish all that I've destined him to do. This relationship that David developed, this walk that David developed as a shepherd in his time with the Lord, this was so intense, and he spent so much time developing him that he became known as the man after God's own heart. That doesn't just randomly happen. That happens very purposefully, intentionally, and throughout this time. And so I wanted just to briefly say what made David a man after God's own heart. Why was he named that? One is because his heart was always pointed to God. And the word says that a man who always pursues my heart and will accomplish all that I've destined him to do. God knew that David was a man who would do everything that God asked him to do. That his heart was always directed towards God. As we already have learned, that didn't mean that his life was perfect, but it means that his heart was always pointed towards God, no matter what situation he was in. He loved God's word and he meditated on it. In Psalm 119, he writes in verse 47, my passion and delight is in your word, for I love what you say to me. I long for more revelation of your truth, for I love the light of your word as I meditate on your decrees. This was a man that would sit, a young man. This is what's really cool, is that he was a young man when he was doing this. God develops a people with a heart after God, and he can start very young. Very young. And he meditated on God's word, and it brought him passion and delight. David was thankful. In Psalm 26, verse 6 and 7, When I come before you, I'll come clean. Approaching your altar with songs of thanksgiving, singing the songs of your mighty miracles. David was thankful, and David was repentant. This is what Mark shared a couple weeks ago. Psalm 51, God gave me mercy from your fountain of forgiveness. I know your abundant love is enough to wash away my guilt, because your compassion is so great. Take away this shameful guilt of sin, forgive the full extent of my rebellious ways, and erase this deep stain on my conscience. The time that David spent with God in his hours of solitude developed a man after God's own heart. He was always pointed to God. He meditated on his word. He was thankful. He was repentant. He was not perfect, but he was all of these things. And because of that, God trusted him. God had developed this walk with him. He had prepared his walk with him. And the cool thing about this is that God uses your everyday to know him. He uses what you're doing right now to know him. So hear this. David was a shepherd. Do you know what psalm he wrote? It starts with 20 and ends in 3. Okay? So David wrote Psalm 23, which is all about the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Do you know he wrote that when he was the king? He didn't write about Jesus is, or God is the king. He wrote about as God is the shepherd. And the only thing I can think of is that it's because God did such a work in him during that season of his life, and he had such an understanding of the character and nature of God, because every day he was out there doing the same thing with his sheep. And he saw what God was doing and what God thought of him as he was living his life out. And God invites you to be in the same place. I know you're not a shepherd, but you might be in a different way. Whatever you are doing in your life right now, God wants to show you his character and nature through that, and he wants to reveal it to you. Whether or not you have hours and hours of solitude or not, you can be paying attention to that. And I say this because one of my life situations is being a mom, and I did ask my daughter permission to share this story, so I'll just start with that. But I don't know how many years ago, a lot. She was probably like 5 or 6. This is one of the ways that God used my situation to teach me about his character and nature. So, and I think I've shared this story before, but it's worth sharing again. So we were on our way to church. Mark always has come to church before us. We've tried lots of different things, in our life and ministry. And then this season, I was at home and I was bringing all the kids into church by myself. And my daughter, who has some sensory issues, was having a very rough morning that morning. And it was just horrible. Like the whole, I can't even tell you all the things that happened that morning, but I can tell you that it was awful. And she hated being in a car seat. She hated getting dressed. Like she just hated lots of things. And I couldn't make it better for a long time. She's much better now, by the way. But when you're 4, 5, 6, you don't know how to handle all of this emotion that's coming out. And so in the car on the way, and we lived about 25 minutes from here, it was just like a bomb had gone off in my house, or in my car. And the way I described it is like this bomb goes off and like the shrapnel just goes everywhere. And I'm like fried by the time I get to church. So we're about, I don't know, 5 minutes out, and she's like, done. She's like, I'm sorry, mommy. And I'm like, I know. That I'm still like this, you know. And she's like, I'm just sorry, mommy. And I'm like, I know you are. And she goes, well, are you still mad? And I'm like, I'm calming down. Just give me a second, you know. Like, so we pull into the parking lot, and we come into the church. She goes, can I have some hot chocolate? Okay, if you're a parent, what is your answer to that question right there? No way in this world am I giving you hot chocolate right now. You have just completely ruined my entire morning. Like, I am super fried. I didn't say anything, but I'm thinking to myself, are you even kidding me that you're asking me for hot chocolate right now? And I felt like the Lord said, this is your opportunity to for me to show you what grace is and for her to see what grace is. I was like, okay, what does that mean? And he said, buy her a hot chocolate. So I was like, okay, really? Yeah. Do I have to buy you? So I did, and so I said, you know what? You don't deserve a hot chocolate. Because of the way that you've treated me this morning, because of your attitude, because of all the things that we've endured. But I want to show you what God's grace looks like. You don't deserve this, but he gives us good things even though we don't deserve them. So I'm gonna buy you a hot chocolate today, and I want you to receive my grace. I love you, I forgive you, and I wanna bless you. And she looked at me like, and what's really cool is that neither she or I are ever gonna forget that, ever. Because if you ask her what grace is, she'll say, it's when my mom bought me hot chocolate and I didn't deserve it. Okay, I have not done that every single time. I swear to you, it's not like my kids are allowed to throw a fit and I'm like, hey, here's some candy. Like, I don't do that necessarily, because there are consequences to our choices. But this was an opportunity where God took my everyday life and said, this is who I am to you. Jill, you can't come to me and say, I deserve good things, ever. Because you haven't done everything that you should have done in order to deserve good things. That's what my grace is. And so he took my life, and he showed me his character and nature. And I want to say, he wants to take your life and show you his character and nature. That we all have opportunities every day to see who God was and is, and just like David did. David learned everything about who God was in his time as a shepherd. Now, I have no doubt that these things that were refined, you know, that as David grew up, that there's always more lessons to learn, but I'm confident that he knew a lot of this stuff when he went to go speak, or when he went to go fight Goliath. Do you want to know why I know this? Because of his response, which is in 1 Samuel 17. A lot of these stuff that have already been read, but I'm going to read to you these things through the lens of understanding of David's walk with God at this point in time. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. This kind of response is only come from somebody who has spent time with God, who has walked with God throughout his life. This is the kind of confidence that I want. This was a young man that was not trained in war and battle. This was a young man who was trained in the as a shepherd. And all of the people who had been trained in war were sitting on the sidelines. But it was David who said, you know what? You don't scare me. Why? Because I know who God is. Why? Because he spent so much time with him and God downloaded so much time, so much stuff to him in his walk as a shepherd. Look, we can have this kind of response even in what's happening right now. We can actually battle what's happening right now. Again, I'm not saying that you go and lick doorknobs. Not that you ever should have done that in the first place. Yuck. But I'm not saying that you should go out and be reckless and stupid, but I'm saying, can we have the kind of confidence that says, you know what? Whatever, enemy, you don't get to do this. You don't get to do this. You don't get to paralyze me. You don't get to bring on all this fear. Because I have a God that's going to take care of me, and I don't know what that looks like. I might get sick, but I have a God who's still going to take care of me in all of these things. David had this holy confidence in God. That it wasn't a bragging and a boasting in himself. It was a bragging and boasting in who God was, who God is, what God had shown him, what God had taught him in his life as a shepherd. So I'm going to remind you that God is working in your life right now, and our time of preparation is now and always, and you are prepared for what is happening now, and you are being prepared for what is to come. This is still true for us. So the second way that God prepared David was that, and us, he prepares our weapons. This is something else that was really fun. Okay, so David, who had all these hours to talk to God, also had all these hours to practice his slingshot skills, which Andy shared with us were phenomenal. He was a sharpshooter, right? He was a sniper. He was amazing in his slingshot skills, and he wasn't in the army. So how did he practice his weapons? How did God prepare his weapons? Well, David was the only, picture this, David is the only one there, and he was a young boy. You have to understand this. Like, some of the commentaries that I read, there's not a huge agreement on it, but some of the commentaries said that he was anointed at 10, between 10 and 13. He was anointed between 10 and 13, and he fought Saul like 16, 17, 18, 19, something like that. So he was anointed a little bit before, but at 10. So here's this young boy out tending sheep by himself. This would never happen now. And he shares, and I will share this, but that there was bears and lions that would come to attack the sheep. Well, David didn't have the opportunity to sit back and wait. He had to actually act and do stuff to combat this enemy that was coming in. He didn't have the luxury because it would cost too much. It would cost too much to lose his sheep. And so he acted on it. And he did it. This young boy is out there fighting a bear and a lion because he had to. God was preparing his weapons. And we know that he did because in 1 Samuel 17, again, it says in verse 34, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth.'" Would any of you do that? Okay. "When it turned on me," we'd have bear spray, right? We're out there like, shh, 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 stop it, shh. David was like, "When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he's defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." What's so cool is that his walk also prepared him for this, but God also prepared his weapon. He gave him ample opportunity in this time of solitude, in this time of being out there by himself protecting all of his sheep, to hone his skills. So David was prepared as a shepherd, and that prepared him to be a warrior. and defeat Goliath when nobody else wanted to. Nobody else would. And then defeating Goliath prepared him for future battles that he would face. So think about this. Some of the commentaries that I read said that there was at least, 8 or 9 major battles that David fought as king, and he won. That doesn't just happen one day randomly. You get prepared for that. How do you get prepared for that? Whatever God's doing right now is preparing you for what is to come. And what God has prepared you for is prepared you for what's happening right now. Like, it's this constant thing. So I want to ask you, what weapons has God prepared for you right now in the season that you're in? And what weapons is he preparing in you for the future? You may not know exactly how he's going to use what he's doing in your life right now to prepare you for the future, but whatever circumstance you're in, we can take the obvious one, or we could take any of the other ones that you're in. Because just because there's this virus happening doesn't mean that it exempts us all from all of the other struggles that we're already facing before. So let me tell you what he's done in my life, all right? And this is what my weapons look like in my walk. My weapons look like journaling. My weapons look like prayer, books that I've read, podcasts, church, EHS. And then the internal work that God's already done in my life. Because all of these things have prepared me for this season that I'm in right now. And I'll say that probably for the last year, it's been a very difficult season for me personally. A difficult season with what God is trying to prune in me. Lots of things he's trying to prune in me. Striving and being still and not just working to be valuable and purposeful. Like he's requiring me to do some things differently, like requiring me. And boy, if he quarantines me for 2 weeks, that's going to be all about exactly what he wants me to do, is just sit and do nothing. So God has been preparing me for this. And when I look back through my journals, it reminds me of what God's already been saying to me. And I can go back through stuff that I've read and written over the last 20 years of my life and go, I see, God, how faithful you are. And I see what has come in. And I might still forget a lot of these things, but I know that to a certain degree, it's in there somewhere. It's in there somewhere. And he's going to call it out, and he's going to remind me of what he's taught and what I know and what he's been sharing with me for a long time. Okay? He did not leave me unprepared for this season. One of the things that he did, and I think I'll get this into this a little bit more in my next one, but he had put on my heart probably, 4 years ago, that he's just like, I want you to get better at praying. Not because it was like this thing that I had to check off my list, but like, I want you to develop your prayer life. So I've been reading books on prayer. I've read books on intercession. I've been going to the women's prayer group every other week, and I'm like, okay, God, I just strengthen my prayer life. Well, then probably, 6 months ago, I just got into another really intense season in this whole pruning process that he's been doing, and he said, I want you to see some of the stuff that you're praying, and I want you to claim this. So I turned one of the doors in my office into like a prayer wall, and I started putting up pictures, and not pictures, but putting up words that God's been sharing with me, and prophetic words that I've been reading, and it's now moved to another door in my office because there's so much, and I'm like, I feel like a warrior now. Like, these are things that he's been preparing in me that I can sit there and I can read all of this stuff and I'm like, yes, I agree with that. Yes, I agree with that. And I'm going to keep agreeing with this. And when I focus on that prayer wall, when I focus on what God has, man, the fear is gone. And I feel like a warrior, because he's raised up this weapon in me. And it's different when I pray now. And I think he's still preparing me for something that's to come. So whatever he's working in me that he has prepared to this moment has helped me to live in this moment, but he is still preparing me for something else that is still to come. All right? God is working in your life right now. Our time of preparation is when? Now and always. You have been prepared for where you are right now, for what's happening right now, and you're being prepared for what is to come. So the last thing that he does is, the third thing is that he prepares our worship. And he did this with David. Again, isn't this cool to be able to not know anything about David's life as a shepherd, but be able to figure all of this out because of the fruit of what God did in this preparation time? So he prepares his worship. So I imagine that during the many hours of solitude, and I'm sure all of these things kind of coincided, he was probably praising Jesus as he was killing a, praising God, as he was killing a lion, all right? You kind of have to do a multitask, all this stuff. But David was out there practicing and practicing his little lyre, his little harp thing. I mean, he had lots of time, and I'm sure that also, that combined with his walk with God, but God prepared his worship. And he got himself a reputation as a good harp player, all right? So here's the story, is that Saul, King Saul, was being tormented. I mean, he had disobeyed God. There's this whole backstory of this, but he disobeyed God, and God allowed him to be tormented by this evil spirit. And Saul was tormented, and he hated it, okay? And he was desperate for a relief in this. And in 1 Samuel 16:18, it says, one of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, weapons, man of war, and has good judgment. He's also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him. His walk. In that one little thing, all three things were shown. God had his walk, his weapons, and his worship. And his reputation as a what did he say? A fine, talented harp player. David's talent, and when it says, and the Lord is with him, that was his anointing. The Lord was with him in this moment. David's talent and anointing for worship is what ministered to Saul. And think about this. Okay. 1 Samuel 17:23, whenever the spirit from God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play, and then relief would come to Saul, he would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. So listen to what his talent for playing the lyre did. It brought him into the court of King Saul. David didn't have access to Saul before then, but his talent in playing the lyre brought him into the courtyard of Saul and into his presence. And do you know how much stuff he learned while he was there? All these things that David would never have known if he had just stayed a shepherd, but what God had done to prepare him in that season brought him into the court of Saul. He could play he was a really good warrior, and all of these things brought him into the presence of the king. And what did David learn sitting in the presence of the king? He probably learned how to be a king and what not to do. That happens too. I've learned what not to do in the presence of some people. But I also learned what to do. And so David had this opportunity. And what brought him there? His worship. His worship brought him into the presence of Saul so that he could be prepared for what was to come next. So that he could really have relationship with the one who was going to put him in charge of armies. And then the one who would chase him, which we're going to talk about that later. But he wouldn't have had these opportunities if he hadn't been prepared in his worship. And David also wrote many psalms of worship and praise. In Psalm 145, it says, in verse 1 through 3, my heart explodes with praise to you. Now and forever, my heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Every day I will lift up my praise to your name and with praises that will last throughout eternity. Lord, you are great and worthy of the highest praise, for there is no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. David had a heart of a worshiper, which we're also going to talk about later. But in this preparation of worship, it led him to the next place that God wanted him to be. How has your worship been prepared up until this point, and how is it being prepared for what is coming in the future? There's a point of saying, where am I am now? And then there's a point of saying, what do you want to do for what is to come? Here's how he's done it in my life. I've always loved worship music. I've actually always loved music, and I remember probably 25 years ago, the Lord really challenged me with the music I was listening to. Now, this is my personal story. So this is, again, this is a judgment-free zone. So there was a season where God asked me to fast from secular music and just focus on being renewed by worship. And so that has pretty much continued. I still listen to secular music every once in a while. My sister likes to joke. I'm like, what song is that? And she goes, well, they don't play it on K-Love. I'm like, well, then I really won't know it. So I do listen to a lot more worship music than secular music. But I do listen to, I mean, I have a good 80s and 90s mix on my Spotify. And we've taught our kids John Denver and all this kind of stuff. So we're like, we're all right in these things. But God has always told me what I want to speak to you is going to come through worship. What I want to speak to you is coming through a lot of this stuff. And it has. 100% it has. And during this latest hard season that I've been in, I've pressed into this to a greater degree than I ever have before. That it was already there, and then God's like, we're going to move this a step further. And so he has shown me, and I've realized more and more, the power of focusing on God, the power of reframing my mind and giving him glory, and no matter what my circumstances are like. It's what he does in me and what he is doing in me in this hard season. So basically, he's upped my worship game, all right? He has honed, to a greater degree, my worship skills. That's what he has prepared, and that is what he is preparing in me. And so probably, I don't know if this is a year old now, but I have a Spotify playlist that I started making, and it's called, and I named it The Password of Praise. And I named it after Psalm 100, verse 4, because he spoke to me so clearly in this. And in the Passion Translation is where I got it from, and it says, you can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving, and come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. And I was like, that's what I want to do. God, I want to just like walk right into your gate. And you say to do it with your password of praise, so I'm going to do that. And so now when I am desperate to be in the presence of God, I just put on the password of praise. And I will say that there's been oftentimes that I have put on the playlist and I've hit the shuffle. And I have said to God, and not because I think he can do this, I was like, you can be whatever algorithm you want to be. And you can play whatever song you think I need to hear right now. All right, you can totally go, you whatever, Jill, you're still getting whatever. I don't care what you say. I'm believing that whatever song has come on is what he wants me to hear in that moment, and I start paying attention. So every song that that I have on my playlist has spoken to me very powerfully at one point in time or another, and it's changed. I've taken some things off as they don't mean anything to me anymore, and I've put new ones on. But that's my go-to playlist for me to start doing battle in the spirit, because there are some things that he has spoken very specifically to me in that worship music. And that's where I want to be. I want to walk right through his open gates and right into his presence and give him a thank offering. And when I've had a spirit of heaviness, I put on a garment of praise and it changes everything. When I have a spirit of fear, I put on a garment of praise and it changes everything. He has honed my worship skills and he is honing my worship skills, my worship life. And I this is a Jill-ism, but I think David knew something about this, and I think it was, I'm going to walk into Saul's court, and I can do it with praise. Like, this is how I get to be in his presence. And that's where I want to be. And that's a better place. That is a better place. In his presence is where I find myself, okay? Who he says I am. His presence is the only place. I'm not going to find that anywhere else, but his presence. His presence is where I find peace, I find truth, I find hope. His presence has no fear. And so I want to bring my walk, my weapons, and my worship into his presence, because that is what he has prepared for me, and that is what he is preparing in me. So look at David's life. David's preparation as a shepherd with hours of solitude prepped him for the future that we read about, which prepped him for the future that we read about. And a lot of us can think, I'm not ready for this. Yeah, you are. Yes, you are. Whatever you are in, you are ready for it. Because God has already been doing something in you. He already has. It just takes the time to go, what is it, Lord? What have you done in me, and what are you doing? It takes the time to stop and focus on him instead of our own shortcomings. Yeah, because when I rely on my own strength, I'm not prepared for anything. But I do know what he has prepared for me, and I know what he is doing in my life now. I don't know what that means for what is to come. But David's future brought him into Saul. David's preparation brought him into Saul's court. He was trained as a leader. He watched the king. He was prepared to be king. He was prepared to be a warrior, to lead armies. And he was a man after God's heart, who always sought after him. So I'm going to close with this, and the worship team can come out for if you're ready. God is working in your life right now. Our time of preparation is now and always. You're prepared for what's happening right now, and you're being prepared for what is to come. This is why we don't have to have fear, because we have a God who has already seen this. He already knows what you need right up until this moment, and he knows what you're going to need tomorrow, and he's making it ready today. He's prepared our walk, he's prepared our worship, our warfare, and he's prepared our worship. So all we have to do is boldly, confidently go forward and say, you can't defy the armies of the living God. I want that kind of attitude, and not just with the coronavirus, but with everything. Do you know what I was thinking this morning? This coronavirus is an invisible enemy. That is actually nothing new to us. We walk every day with an invisible enemy who is very real. And we can do a whole lot of things to protect ourselves in the supernatural with this invisible enemy who is out to get us. And he has brought something into the natural to scare us. And we can confidently go and say, you don't get to do this. Because the God that I walk with, the God that I do warfare with, and the God that I worship is far greater than what you can throw at me. Amen? We're ready for this. All right, I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, I thank you that you have not left us unprepared, that God, from the very beginning, you knew what we needed. You have always known what we've needed, and you have always prepared us. The Lord, even in the past really hard things that we have walked through, you've not left us. You've not left us. You have just trained us, God, to know your character and nature. Lord, I pray that in this season of uncertainty in our world, but Lord, whatever we are actually walking through personally as well, may we have a confident hope in the one who knows. Let us not hope in our circumstances. Let us not hope in our own strength. Let us not hope in our government. Let us not hope in all of these external things. Let us keep our hope in you. May we walk confidently through your open gate, Lord, with a password of praise and thanksgiving. Because your presence has no fear and it has all truth. And I am so grateful that you have equipped us. May we be warriors for you that war with love and kindness and go against the enemy. In Jesus' name.